All right, the council will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Here.
Mr. Quarles?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Riggs?
Here.
Mr. Snappy?
Here.
Mr. Stroud?
Thank you. If Councilman Howe could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Thank you for everybody's patience tonight. We're starting about an hour and a half late because of the number of items that we had on our docket, including several public hearings and issues in committees that required much testimony from residents and staff and council members. With that being said, there are two public hearings tonight, in particular, that attorneys are here with experts that we wanted to skip to just to get them out. We also have a stenographer that's on the clock, and if her requirements on the state law are only to be here for those two public meetings. With that said, if there's no objection, I'd like to move to the first public hearing, which is PCO 2418, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, DT Realty Properties, LLC, petitioner, Sordum Development, LLC, and Expo Realty, LLC, owner. And this is for public hearing. And do I have a recommendation from the Land Use Committee? Recommend
favorable action.
And recommend public hearing.
Recommend public hearing, excuse
okay.
me.
And defer to you, Councilman Riggs, to open the public hearing.
Would like to open the public hearing.
Councilman Riggs moves to open the public hearing. Seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Is there anybody here to speak in favor of PCO 2418? Attorney Sakachi, if you could just identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, members of the City Council. For the record, Attorney K. Joseph Sakachi, representing the applicant this evening. With me tonight are two representatives from the developer, Scott Bowman is here, and the engineer with me tonight is Anthony Donato from Bowler Engineering. Mr. Donato is placing the site plan up on the board. I just want to give the council a brief history of the project, and then happy to answer any questions that you may have. This is a project many people are familiar with the location. It is the corner of Warwick Avenue and Atlantic Avenue. On Warwick Avenue, it has been vacant and run down for many years. There's been a rodent problem. This project has been through several reiterations with the planning department. We, at the request of Councilman Ricks, held a neighborhood meeting, and we've, in great detail, strived to address some of the concerns regarding hours of operation, lighting, et cetera, landscaping. There's a wetland in the back. There are parking requirements. We've tried to address all of those concerns, as well as the mayor and the planning department, and Councilman Ricks has diligently advocated on behalf of his constituents. We have received unanimous approval from the planning department and the planning board, and I believe you should have those recommendations as part of your record this evening. We are proposing a Dollar Tree store that would service the area. It's a new building. We have some thank you. Some pictures of what it would look like. And as you can see, the planning department extracted some really special details and some improvements of what the store would look like in terms of awning and color scheme. So we have strived to make this a little bit nicer than your average dollar store. And there's a lot of extra glass involved. There's awnings involved. There's brick involved. There's sidewalking. There's spacing. There's setbacks. There's lighting. And we've strived. This project will have to obviously receive DEM approval as well. So we've strived to require all those amenities at the behest of the planning department and Councilman Ricks. If we are successful this evening, we would have another planning, another public hearing before the council next month, but we'd have a planning board hearing where we'd have to present our DOT and DEM approvals before the project would ever go forward. That concludes my presentation. I do not have anybody who has any experts, but they are here to answer any questions if the council should so desire.
Okay. Mr. Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Sakachi, in the stipulation that was included in the planning board recommendation, there was a stipulation, but it wasn't included in our docketed items before us. And I just want to make sure that you and your clients are in agreement to it and put it on the record as such. And that stipulation would be stipulation number 4. It says exemptions for less than the required number of parking spaces and less than the required wetland setback as shown on the plan approved by the Warwick Planning Board for this development. Do you have any objections to that?
No, none whatsoever. Those were all part of the planning department and planning staff's recommendation. We agreed to them and we agree to them tonight as well.
Thank you, Mr. Sakachi. Mr. President, as a procedural issue to get this on the record, let that serve as testimony for the record. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Sakachi.
You. Councilman Ricks.
I would like to elaborate a little on that particular concern. Through no fault of Dollar Tree or anyone with the petitioner, there was an administrative error in the number of stipulations that made it their way onto the council docket, and we are going to correct that. The stipulations, as agreed to, are recorded on Warwick's land evidence records, book 9188, pages 321 through 322. And I believe that our council solicitor has prepared to read the relevant stipulations, all of the stipulations that were before the planning board and agreed by the planning board and the petitioner, the planning board by a vote of 9-0. If I could move that amendment be read into the record.
Okay. I know that we're going to, when the public hearing closes, address that amendment just from a housekeeping perspective, but I wanted, and I'll defer to you at that point once we close it. I just wanted to make sure if there was any other council members that had questions of the developer. Yes, Councilman McAllister.
Thank you very much. Mr. Shikarchi, how many jobs will be coming from this new project, would you say, estimate?
Over approximately 40. Most of them will be full-time, some will be part-time.
That's great. 40 new full or part-time jobs, and this space has been empty for how many years?
As long as I can remember, at least 25.
At least 25 years, and this project...
Let me just say, they had seasonal Christmas trees were being sold there, but of any kind of substantive employment, it's been at least 25 years.
Full-time. That's great. So this will be returned to the tax roll full-time, year-round, with jobs, and it's in Councilman Rick's ward, and we worked on a project. We're going to get some new homes in there, so now they have a place to live and shop, and I know my family loves the dollar store, so I think you'll
do
well here. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any... Yes, Councilman Ricks.
Now that we addressed the housekeeping, which we're going to formalize after, I do want to make sure to add that this has been an excellent process where residents have been informed every step of the way of the board meetings, and this set of 12 stipulations addresses all or virtually all of the concerns presented. I am based on feedback from the residents, and after listening to the experts, I know that everyone involved, especially with the planning department, planning board, did their due diligence to vet this idea. And residents could not be more excited to see those blighted old buildings on Atlantic Ave by Warwick Ave finally torn down. And this is just so exciting to see some of these old nuisances across Ward 2 being addressed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council members have any other questions? Is there anybody else to speak in favor of this development? Yes. Mr. Zarum, if you could just introduce yourself at the mic.
Hi. For the record, my name is Michael Zarum, Z like zebra, Z-A-R-U-M. I'm a resident of Ward 2, and I am stating for the record that I am in favor of this project with a few stipulations, those stipulations being that the approval be subject to the developer obtaining any and all required regulatory permits, specifically those from the Rhode Island Department of Environmental Management. And I would also ask that if they send out any public notices for review of anything that's on file for their review, that the developer or their attorney, Mr. Shikarchi, reach out to the Lakewood Association so that they're aware of the wetlands approval process and everything, because there have been wetlands issues in some of the neighborhoods with that micro watershed over there. But other than that, I would say I think it's a good project, and I'd like to thank everybody that's moved this ahead. I think Councilman Ricks succinctly stated one of the key advantages here. We're taking a blighted property that's been there for decades, off of a street that thousands of people drive by, a blighted property every day, and it's going to be replaced with a new building. And I think if we look at our overall community and everything and the number of blighted buildings we have, every time we remove a blighted building like this and put something new in there, it's going to be a nicer community and everything. So I want to thank Councilman Ricks for the work he's done to move this forward. And I also want to thank Mr. Shikarchi for addressing the concerns of the neighborhood and everything else. And I think this will, again, be a win-win project, and, again, would support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else to speak in favor of the project? Anybody else to speak in favor of the project? Anyone else to speak in favor of the project? If not, is there anybody here to speak against the project? Anyone here to speak against the project? Anyone here to speak against the project? If not, I'm sorry, I couldn't see you. The podium was in the way.
James King.
Yes, Mr. King.
I'm a neighbor of this development. I'm not against the development. They can do what they want. We'll clean it up. They'll put a nice store there. All I want is the stipulations that he knows that he just talked about. The lighting, no cutting all the trees down. I don't mind them coming in and making a living. I don't want them screwing up my neighborhood. Now, I have pictures, if you'd like to see them, of the trees at the brook. There's no reason for them, he knows, to cut the trees down. DEM won't let them go near the brook. So, this is what I see out my back front door. That's what I want to see when they finish putting the building up. That's the only thing I'm looking for, to not screw up my neighborhood.
Okay.
They got stipulations on lighting. They got stipulations on parking. They got stipulations on setback. They got stipulations on the paper street that's back there. As long as they go along with the stipulations that he's talking about, I have no beef with them. I'm not trying to stop them from making a living.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. King.
Is there anybody else to speak against the project? Anyone else to speak against the project? If not, if I could have a motion, Councilman Ricks, to close the public hearing.
Move to close the public hearing.
Seconded by Councilman Howell, Councilman McAllister, Councilman Lattisaw. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So the public hearing is closed. Councilman Ricks, if you could move this for favorable action. No, you got to move it for favorable action first.
Thank you. Okay. So procedurally, first.
You're just going to move it for favorable action, then we're going to amend it.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Howell, Councilman McAllister, Councilman Lattisaw. Okay. So all those. So it's been moved and seconded. I believe we're going to read an amendment into the record.
Correct.
And. Ed, are you going to read that into the record?
Yes.
All right, so before we do that, Councilman Ricks, you're making a motion to amend, correct? If you could make that.
Correct. Move to amend.
Go ahead. You're going to make a motion to amend for an amendment. Councilman Howell, Councilman McAllister, Councilman Lattisaw, seconded. Hold on one sec. Is Billy in the room?
He's in the back of the room.
Back
of
here. Just if our attorney can come back up here. Okay, it's been moved and seconded, and I think you're going to defer Councilman Ricks to. Are you going to read it into the record, Bill? Councilman Ricks defers to our city council solicitor to read the amendments into the record, which will be the amendments that we'll have discussion on those, okay?
Correct. All stipulations listed on book 9188, pages 321 through 322 of the Warwick Land Evidence Records. And I defer to the council solicitor.
The following stipulations are included. Number one, that all plans shall comply with, quote, rules and regulations for professional land surveying in the state of Rhode Island, effective date November 25, 2015. All survey monumentation shall be set prior to the recording the final subdivision plan, or a bond may be posted for installation and/or bond preservation. Stipulation 2, that the application that the applicant shall submit a preliminary land development plan and subdivision plan that comply with Appendix C, preliminary application of the city's development review regulations governing subdivisions, land development projects, and development plan review, last amendment dated March 14, 2001. Stipulation 3, that the parcel shall receive City Council approval for a zone change on the development parcel from a combination of general business, office and residential A7, to general business, with use restrictions and exemptions, dimensional waivers for less than required parking spaces and less than required wetland setback. Stipulation 4, that the future general business use of proposed Lot 2 shall comply with all zoning requirements or receive relief from the appropriate approving authority. Stipulation 5, that all necessary state permits, including but not limited to RIDEM and RIDOT, physical alteration permit, shall be obtained prior to the submission to the Planning Board for preliminary approval. Stipulation 6, that the design for the stormwater collection system shall meet the requirements of the Rhode Island Stormwater Design Installation Standards Manual, dated December 2010. The project engineer shall meet with the City of Warwick DPW engineering staff to review the proposed drainage system prior to submission to Rhode Island DEM or DOT. Stipulation 7, that the operation and maintenance plan for the proposed stormwater collection system shall be included in the preliminary submission to the Planning Board. Stipulation 8, that sewer service for Assessor's Plat 293, Assessor's Lot 44, will be extended from Atlantic Avenue and may require an easement. That demolition of any of the existing structures with an existing sewer connection will require a Warwick Sewer Authority demolition permit. A backflow prevention device shall be installed between the sampling manhole and the main sewer line. Stipulation 9, that the preliminary plans submittal shall include a signage plan to include sign location, size, and style. This shall be subject to approval by the administrative officer to the Planning Board. All signage shall conform to the standards of the Warwick Zoning Ordinance, Section 800. Please note that LED advertising message boards are prohibited. Stipulation 10, that the preliminary plan submittal shall include a photometric site plan and specifications for all exterior lighting. The site lighting shall be dark sky compliant to the extent practicable. All exterior lighting and signage shall be designed to minimize negative impacts on neighboring properties. Glare from outdoor lights, signs, and from the movement of vehicles on site shall be shielded from the view of adjacent properties. Stipulation 11, that before issuance of any permits, the fire department shall review all plans for compliance with all life safety codes and issues. Stipulation 12, that the preliminary submittal shall include a landscape plan prepared and stamped by a registered Rhode Island landscape architect. The landscape architect shall contact the planning department prior to the beginning of the design process. The landscape design shall include hardscape at the intersection along the frontages of both Warwick Avenue and Atlantic Avenue, a solid fence on the retaining wall, and an evergreen landscape buffer to screen the proposal from the abutting residential zone. That concludes those stipulations. And
okay. Sorry. We're the stipulations in this amendment, Councilman Lattisaw had referenced in the public hearing. And the council solicitor is going to also read those into the record and make this one amendment, which we'll vote on. Go ahead.
The final stipulation to be added in this amendment is that exemptions for less than the required number of parking spaces and less than the required wetland setback as shown on the plan approved by the Warwick Planning Board for this development.
Okay. So that's been moved and seconded. The amendment has been read into the record. Is there any questions from council members regarding this amendment? Any questions from council members regarding this amendment? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Rich?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Okay. 8 yes, 1 absent, so the amendment stands passed. Councilman Ricks, if you could move PCO 2418 as amended.
Move as amended.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman McAllister. Any discussion on PCO 2418 as amended? Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
PCO 2418 stands passed as amended. Next item on the agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is a public hearing, which is PCO 1-19, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, Stephen Fairbanks, Chief Investment Officer, PHIM Providence LLC petitioner. If Councilman, excuse me, I'd like a recommendation from land use. Councilman Ricks, is this recommend public hearing?
Recommend public hearing.
Okay. For a hearing, Councilman Howe, if you could move to open the public hearing.
Move to open public hearing.
Seconded by Councilman Ricks, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman McAllister. All those in favor?
Aye.
The public hearing on PCO 1-19 stands opened. Is there anybody here to speak in favor of the project? Attorney Sakachi, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. President. Honorable members of the Warwick City Council, for the record, again, Attorney K. Joseph Sakachi representing the applicant this evening. I thank you for the opportunity to present this exciting new project to the City of Warwick, and let me just kind of give everybody a brief history of it. As you can see, we have some incredibly stunning renderings of what this is, project will do if we are able to receive approval this evening and move forward through the process. This is the back parking lot of the Radisson Hotel. The Radisson was recently purchased by my client. With me tonight, I have a whole team of people who have flown in from all parts of the country. I will make them available to testify, but I'm not having them present anything. I'd just like to state for the record that the marketing study that we, the Planning Department has, we have supplied to the Planning Department as part of your record, along with the application and all the engineering reports as well from Dupree Engineering, including their traffic analysis. We have a whole team, and I can just very quickly go through. I have Rev Parr and their principal who did the marketing study. Yes? Rev Parr and their marketing study, Mr. Robert Vitale. I have Paul Bannon, who was, did an independent traffic review. I have Nicole from Dupree Engineering. I have David DeQuattro from RGP, and I have principals from the applicant, Mr. Duber, Douglas Duber, and Mr. Ron Franklin as well. I am not planning on having any of them testify, but I want the board to know that they have, excuse me, the council to know they have flown in from all over the country with very inclement weather today to be here and to answer any questions you may have. This is an exciting opportunity for the City of Warwick, because I'm going to talk about the hotel and 140 rooms and everything else in a minute, but what I want to kind of open the vision of the council and the city is this is an opportunity in the station area, the station district that we've had before the city since the early 90s, that very little development has happened. This, we hope, will be the catalyst that we have worked diligently with Mr. DePasquale, Ms. Reynolds, Mr. Geegan from the Planning Department to not only develop this, but develop it in such a way that it's pedestrian-friendly, that meets with all the ideals, the goals, and the intent of what the Planning Department and the city has seen for this area for 25 years. This is an opportunity for us. My clients have invested. Councilman McAllister, you asked about jobs and taxes. I'll get to that in a minute, but I want to give you an idea. They purchased the property from the Radisson Hotel for approximately $7.5 million. That included the hotel and the land where the proposed residence, Marriott residence, is going to go. They have committed to spend $3 million on improvements to the Radisson. This project, the Renaissance, is $30 million of private investment in our city. They are under contract with the Airport Corporation to buy the abutting property for over $3 million. The total private investment that this client, that this entity has chosen from all over the country for opportunities to come to Warwick, Rhode Island and spend at a minimum $43 million of private investment in our city. That says something about where we are and where we're going. And that's from people who don't live in Warwick, people who are not from Rhode Island, who have come here. They have added, since they started, 30 full-time jobs at the Radisson. They're proposing over 50 full-time jobs at the Renaissance. This is the kind of economic development that we want in our city. This is 140 rooms, extended stay Marriott. They have had experience in the market before. They ran very successfully the extended stay Marriott in Metro Park for many years. That property came to an end. It's changed and become a Sonesta hotel. We have lost a lot of that market. They have gone. The marketing study will show you that that extended stay product that is not being run the way the Marriott was run, and a lot of those clienteles have left the city. This is an opportunity for us to recapture that. I'm not talking about, when we talk about revenue, the real estate tax that they pay. As we all know, the Radisson was owned by Johnson & Wales. They paid very little, if any, real estate taxes. This is a windfall to our tax coffers. I am not talking about the additional hotel tax they pay and room taxes that go to the city and the Hospitality Association. This is an economic explosion of all benefits to the city of Warwick. We've worked diligently. We have renderings that show a night elevation. So we worked with the planning department regarding the lighting. We were that detailed to make sure that the lighting was done the way the planning department met all the guidelines that the planning staff and the code called for, and that we have an elevation in the daytime as well. The relief that you will read is stuff that we have gone through. We received unanimous approval with the planning department. We have worked very hard. They are committed to retain and use local, Mr. Lattice, local contractors in bidding this project. Originally, when they came here, they had an architect from out of state. It's been replaced by RBG. They had a proposed builder from out of state. It's by Allberg. They are committed to become part of our Warwick community. I could go on and on. I know the council has an extremely long agenda tonight. I know there's a presentation for Bucky Brook. I know you've accommodated us because of the stenographer to move forward. That concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions, and I'll provide any and all experts that you would need.
Thank you. I
would just point out the planning department and the planning board also recommended approval to this project to the council.
Thank you. Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sakachi, I would like to hear from every single one of your people that you brought here tonight. But, Mr. President, I will forego that if we can take up a collection so the police department can raise the heat in this room. I'll forego it, Mr. Sakachi.
Thank you.
If the Colonel can do that.
Thank you. I will say that as much as I love the Warwick Police Department, I love being here, I much prefer the original council chambers.
Mr. President, I would like to ask Mr. Sakachi if your applicant, your client, objects to including an additional stipulation that, again, was included in the planning board recommendation, but it's not in our docketed items here before us. And that would be stipulation 5, exemptions for greater than allowed building height up to 85 feet, off-site parking, off-site signage, shared parking spaces, and internally illuminated signage, as shown on the plans approved by the Warwick Planning Board for this development.
We have no objections to those exemptions. Those were part of the planning board record. We agreed to them previously, and we agreed to them this evening as well.
Thank you, Mr. Scacci.
Yes, Councilman McAllister.
Thank you very much, and Mr. Shikashi knows me well. He knows I'm going to ask about the jobs, this is outstanding. It really is, and again, this is another project. I know this has been a very long meeting, and there's a number of people here, but let's talk about we're doing it. It shows that the city is on the move. I mean, we have this beautiful Residence Inn coming in here, a $43 million investment in our city. We've talked about getting a building that had been empty since 2011. We sold the property. We're selling the property. We're going to build more homes for more people to come to our city, move in here, young couples, retired couples, young people moving in to our city. This is an outstanding project. It has a huge economic impact on our city, again, real estate taxes, but the jobs that this will come from, the investment in the city, this is outstanding, and I appreciate you laying out the numbers for me because you knew it was coming. And but they're great numbers. $43 million investment in our city, 30 full-time jobs right now, and then it could be up to an additional 50 jobs at the new hotel. I mean, this is outstanding. So I thank you and your people from coming across the country. Must have been a heck of a landing here with all the wind. So I really
only half the team came, and when Mr. Lattis went, if you remember, there were three or four who couldn't make it.
Thank you,
Councilman Ricks.
This is another exciting opportunity for our city, and the only way that I could be more enthusiastic about it is if it were in Ward 2. But more seriously, this is an excellent location for a hotel of this type. I remember a constituent was asking me about the parking exemption in particular, and I was puzzled by the question, and I had a discussion about that, because this hotel is literally a stone's throw from multiple parking garages. So it's location by the airport, by parking garages, by the train station. This is the kind of development that we want right in that area of the city.
Thank you.
Do you have a comment?
Yeah.
Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to say, as there's Chief DePasquale there, I remember when the restaurant and the location closed, and I immediately got two phone calls from relatives and a friend, no longer a friend, no, a relative and a friend, and they said, wow, what's happening? You know, they just closed the restaurant moved, relocated. So I immediately called Mr. DePasquale, and I said, what's going on? What happened? He goes, oh, no, you just wait until you see what's going on there. And I remember it was about a week later, Mr. Sicarchi, I saw you, and you came up, and he did his his pat on the shoulder and his wink, and he goes, wait until you see what we're doing in Ward 3. So from knowing those two men and knowing working with them, with the relationship we have, I became, of course, confident and excited. I do have two questions just out of curiosity, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut and just kind of rub it in my relative's face when the time comes. That hotel, just so I'm clear on this, the existing hotel is going to stay and be
Absolutely. They're already committed an ongoing $3 million of upgrades in the existing Radisson. That property will stay. I don't know if it'll stay a Radisson forever. Maybe we will upgrade that at some future point, but that hotel is committed to staying.
Thank you. And what about the location of the old restaurant existing?
The old Eagle Seafood. Yes, I'm not at liberty to say, but it will be the exact name. But it will be a very upscale Italian wine bar restaurant, and they plan to be open before the 4th of July, if not sooner.
Thank you. You answered my question. So the space will be occupied. It will be revenue generating. It'll be something that.
And it will be, as we all know, it will be in the private sector, and they'll pay the private sector tax rate. It will not be owned by a educational institution that gets either tax breaks or tax reductions. They'll pay the full freight.
Well, I'd like to say, as the representative of this, as the councilman for this ward with this development, it helps the entire city. But I want to thank everyone that has taken the time and the effort to invest in the build in this city, especially Ward 3. Thank you, and We look forward to a long, prosperous relationship together. Thank you.
So I want to say two points in my conclusion, which is simply that Councilman Howe is being a little modest, because we did meet with him at the very beginning of the process, and he was a gentleman, and he welcomed this development, and that gave my clients a comfort level to go forward with the transaction to actually buy the property. They own this property. It's not under contract. The building's closed. They own it. To buy the property, after they met with Mayor Solomon, they met with Councilman Howe, they felt comfortable to make that investment in our community. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come, because they are under agreement for the property next door. That's that parking area you see at the bottom. That's the old Laz parking, and that's going to be developed as well. That's not going to stay a vacant parking lot. We don't know yet, but they're committed. They're committed because they like what they've seen. They like working with the planning department. They like working with Dan Deegan. They like working with Trish Reynolds. They like working with Bill DePasquale. They like working with Luke Murray. They're professional. They're responsive. That's a reflection of you. That's a reflection of me. It's a reflection of all of us in the city, every elected official. We want a welcoming businesses to the city. We want to respond to their inquiries, and here you have the result. You have $43 million of private investment today with a lot of upside, a lot of upside. So we have something to be very proud about today. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. So what are we experiencing here tonight?
This is igniting the Station District. Since 1992, an idea that's been stagnant. It's 25 years plus.
And, Mr. President, what we're seeing here tonight, we're seeing the difference between being complacent and being aggressive. We're seeing a very short time with Mayor Solomon in the corner office. This evening, we're seeing Councilman Ricks, Councilman Howe from the council working with the leadership in the executive branch. And how many times have we heard tonight about what happens when the council is working united with the corner office? We haven't experienced this type of energy in many, many years. The amount of investment into the city of Warwick tonight, Mr. Sakachi, you're right. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of a new Warwick. It's a beginning of a new energy. You can feel the energy in the room. You can feel the energy from all the players, and the cooperation and interaction between this city council and that corner office is going to take Warwick to places it hasn't been in the last 20 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Corley.
One thing I want to point out, being a lifelong Rhode Island resident, I know the thinking of many other lifelong Rhode Island residents. We don't leave Rhode Island. The people that are coming to stay at this hotel are coming to stay at the hotel as a destination. There are many people that fly into Green, and now they are staying at these hotels. They are not simply flying into the city and then moving on to some other place to spend their summer vacation. The Ocean State in itself is a vacation wonderland, and people are staying in Warwick. They are eating in our restaurants. They are making day trips to Boston, to New York. We have our own gaming facilities now in Rhode Island, and that is something that is going to simply improve over time. The empty buildings that are on Post Road or on Airport Road are going to be bought, and they are going to become businesses. Each one of these developments is just making Warwick the gateway for New England, and the people will be staying in our hometown and enjoying all of New England. This is something that we should all be proud of and something that we should encourage and pursue these same type of opportunities in the future with other national branded hotels. I think it is a good sign and a step in a huge jump in the direction where we want to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council members? Mr. Sakachi, I can recall, as you pointed out, in 98 when the station district was formed, I can recall the process where Bullfinch was hired by the previous administration to market the area, and what a disaster that was. We actually did away with the special planning board that we created to market this area. So, you know, obviously the people that flew across the country to be here tonight, and the message that I would like to send to developers is that this is an area that we're very interested in developing. You can see, I believe that that's part of that 7.5-story district that we have zoning. Many people forget about the zoning that we have there, that there's an opportunity for multi-use there with maybe some other companies besides hotels, which is obviously a great use being near the airport. And to remind people at home and in the media that we have an opportunity to develop an area which I believe is around 100 acres. And I think at least 20 years ago when we used to be talking about this, it's the closest point on the East Coast above Baltimore. I believe maybe there's an exception there for Newark, where airport, I-95, and a train station are so close. We have MBTA stops with 10 round-trip trains to Boston. We've really become a suburb of Boston. This is an area that is the quality of life to me is unparalleled because of our beaches, because of the proximity to Newport, Providence, and we're in between Boston and New York. In many ways, I think we've been forgotten, but when major companies such as the Marriott Corporation sees an opportunity to invest $43 million in our community, that's welcome news. And also to give praise to Mayor Solomon and his administration and Mr. DePasquale, who's wearing two hats as chief of staff and the head of planning. We all know that Dan Geegan does all the work in the office now. but this is exciting development for Warwick, and I would encourage people to start talking about future developments, especially if we can one day envision a downtown Warwick, as had been talked about over 20 years ago in that area, with a people mover. I think that was $26 million that the federal government invested through former Senator Chafee, I think, had gotten us that amount of money. So I hope everybody hears the enthusiasm here at the council, and we're looking for more, not to put the pressure on you or anyone else.
I do my best every chance I get.
But, you know, we're certainly here to help. And finally, after two decades of stagnant development in that area, to get the word out that we're looking to push this area. And personally, I'd also like to see businesses in there with mixed development, with maybe apartments next to or condominiums next to businesses, offices, maybe with mixed use on the first floor, dry cleaners, restaurants, movie theaters, as Mr. DePasquale had put on that presentation, I think 20-odd years ago. There's a great opportunity for that. I know when you get up to the higher floors, I want to guess the sixth or seventh floor, you have commanding views of Narragansett Bay all the way down to Newport, all the way to Providence. And a lot of people get nervous about a workforce. If you have an MBTA service, you can get many individuals from the Boston area possibly commute down here and to live down here. And I think in particular that technology corridor and not just service-oriented businesses. Obviously, if you can have other businesses that the G-Techs of the world, the Amgens, the Liberties, Liberty Mutuals, Metropolitan, obviously that fills the hotel rooms next to them. So I just like to encourage everybody to think outside the box and to get these and to get this area development, because I think it's a win-win for everybody. So with that said, if there's no other questions from council members, are there any other members of the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Any members of the public that like to speak in favor of this project? Any members of the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Are there any members from the public that would like to speak against this project? Any members of the public that would like to speak against the project? Any members of the public that would like to speak against the project? Hearing none, I would defer to Councilman Howe to close the public hearing. Make a motion.
Motion to close public hearing.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Lattisaw. All those in favor of closing the public hearing, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Public hearing stands closed. Councilman Howe, if you could move PCO 119 for favorable action.
Move PCO 1-19 for favorable action.
You have a second by Councilman McAllister and Councilman Lattisaw and Councilman Corley and Councilman Ricks. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. I'm assuming that we have an amendment to read into the record. So, Councilman Howe, if you could move the amendment, we'll get a second, and we'll have it read into the record.
Move for favorable action on the amendment as read by the council.
Okay, seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Lattisaw, defer to the council solicitor to read the amendment into the record.
Amendment to PCO 1-19, adding an additional stipulation, number 5. Exemptions for greater than allowed building height up to 85 feet, off-site parking, off-site signage, shared parking spaces, and internally illuminated signage as shown on the plans approved by the Warwick Planning Board for this development.
Okay, so that's been moved and seconded. Is there any questions on the amendment that's been read into the record? Any questions on the amendment? If not, the clerk will call the roll on the amendment. A yes is for favorable action.
Mr. Morello?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisaw?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
The amendment stands passed. Councilman Howe, if you could move PCO 119 as amended for favorable action.
PCO 1-19 as amended.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Lattisaw. Okay, and it's been moved and seconded. Is there any questions before we take the vote on PCO or statements on PCO 119 as amended? Any statements? If not, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is for favorable action.
Mr. Manola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisaw?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
PCO 1-19 stands passed for first passage as amended.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. We will return to the beginning of the docket, and we'll excuse the stenographer at this point.
Get out.
The first item, and if everybody could hold it down, because we have to take any conversations outside, we appreciate it. Thank you. The first item on the agenda is general communications. I did want to state that Councilwoman Travis is sick and is able to attend tonight's meeting, and we wish her a speedy recovery from her illness. And at this point in time, do we have... I did want to say it under general communications that the mayor had contacted us last week to discuss, and I had announced at our first meeting, council meeting in February, that at the end of the month we would be having a state of the city address, and that date has been selected as this Wednesday. It will take place at the Warwick Vets Junior High School on West Shore Road at 7 p.m. That has been advertised and noted with the Secretary of State's office and posted at the appropriate venues. With that said, under general communications, I know that Councilman McAllister had an announcement.
Thank you very much. I ask that we have a moment of silence for Lynn Braga, who passed away about 2 weeks ago. She taught in the Warwick school system for over 30 years. She taught at Windman Junior High in Tollgate. She was a guidance counselor, and she was also a special ed teacher throughout her career. She touched many lives, and I want to thank her, and I know that she'll be sorely missed, and she dedicated her life to the children of Warwick, so I ask for a moment of silence.
Thank you, and she was actually there, and just a one at Tollgate. I remember many a times her classroom was near the cafeteria, and she'd invite kids in to sit in her office or room to have lunch and to share stories. And it's a sad day for Warwick that she passed at such an early age. At this point, I'd ask for a moment of silence for Lynn Braga. Thank you. Are there any other comments or statements under general communications? Councilman Corley.
I have one that I had hoped to notify everyone by email, but I was not able to. I've been contacted by a woman from the Ignatian Volunteers, and this woman told me that they are active in the Worcester, Boston, and Providence area. What they do is they help partner retirees that have worked in business and in public works to volunteer their time 2 days a week at a particular agency, usually a nonprofit, and that they will volunteer their time to help the nonprofit in their mission. And as a result, the Ignatian Volunteers does receive a stipend for the placement of the individual. But if anyone is aware of any such nonprofits in the city of Warwick, they want to expand to Warwick. It's one of the areas where they want to come. They can be able to provide the nonprofit with a worker that can put in 2 days a week, and it will not be for any cost for the nonprofit.
Thank you. Are there any other comments under general communications? If not, we'll move under subsection A to the acceptance of the minutes from council meeting held on January 23rd, 2019. If someone could move that for favorable action. Moved by Councilman Howell, seconded by Councilman McAllister. Is there any discussion on the minutes of the meeting? Okay, so it's been moved for favorable action. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Next item is for acceptance of minutes of the council meeting of February 4th, 2019, moved by Councilman Howe, seconded by Councilman McAllister. Any discussion? Any discussion on the minutes? If not, all those in favor of the minutes of February 4th, aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. February 4th, 2019 minutes stand passed. Next item on the agenda is a presentation by the Warwick Public Works Department and its engineering consultant regarding the Bucky Brook Restoration Project submitted under Rhode Island DEM Application 180144 about the project purpose and need, a description of the proposed work, including construction access and related wetland impacts, elevated alternatives, the proposed wetland mitigation and restoration, the proposed construction schedule and costs, and whether the project will alleviate elevated water levels in Warwick Pond. I understand there's a consultant here that can give a PowerPoint presentation. If they could come to the mic and identify yourself for the record.
Council President, council members, I'm Eric Hendinger from the Department of Public Works. Again, we're here for the Bucky Brook Restoration Project. I have Ashley Tice from EA Engineering, who's been a consultant working on this project, identifying and preparing the plans for the restoration of the project. She's been working on it for two and a half years now. So we're hoping that she'll go through the quick presentation so you have any ideas. Many of you have already seen this. Some of the new council members, this will be new to your repertoire, and it'll introduce you to the project. There are elevated levels in Warwick Pond due to a blockage in Bucky Brook, and this has also created issues with fish passage going up. It's made it more difficult for fish to make it upstream to the pond. So at this time, I'll bring up Ashley.
And thank you.